I've been singing that song all week, Bob. Trailers for sale or rent. You weren't here last week. You'll have to have Bob sing it for you. Roger Miller song. And anyway, that's been going through my head all week long. I want to say thank you, Bob, for sharing with the church while I was gone. Everybody needs breakfast to eat breakfast of champions, I think. I've heard a lot of good reports about that. So thank you so much for sharing. Today I want to just share with you some things. Rather than preach, I think I may preach. I may teach. I may share with you things. There is a difference. First, I just want to say to you, my mom is knocking on heaven's door. And so I may not be here next week. They've already scheduled her funeral service for a Sunday. And so there I will be missing a Sunday. So just want to let you know that. But you know, if you know my mom, she's been ready to go for quite some time. And so anyway, I will rejoice with her. But if you've lost loved ones, you know that there's also that pain that goes along with that. And so anyway, I appreciate your prayer for me and my family. And as we go and do the service, and I've been asked to not only sing a song, but also do part of the... Well, there's three preachers in our family, and so each of us are going to have a part in that. And so it'll be a glorious time, but a sad time as well. She is in Mississippi. I won't be in the area. I will be with you in spirit, whatever that means. But I do want to pray for you. There are some of you who have brought in some things that are heavy on your mind, heavy on your heart. And God knows what those things are. And He cares. He really does care. We're going to be talking about prayer today, taking off where I left off about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and kind of elaborating on some things I shared. But if you would, would you just stand and reach across the aisles, pray for yourself, pray for those you are going to be holding hands with. If you'd do better sitting down, you're good sitting down, okay? But I'll ask the Lord just to speak to your heart today and ask Him to speak to those that you're holding hands with, as well as if you've got a special burden on your heart today, would you just squeeze the hand of the persons beside you so that they will know they need to pray for you even more diligently. Okay? Father, I do come before you today, and Lord, I just thank you. Your prayers have been prayed. Lord, you've heard me. Lord, it always, I think often, no matter how many people are praying at one time, you hear each one of us individually as if we are the only ones praying. That's just a mind boggle. Lord, oftentimes I can't listen to one person. You listen to us all. Lord, I thank you for the prayers. I thank you for those who've been praying for me. And I'm mom, and just ask God that your blessings be on that service time. And Lord, I pray that if there's people there that don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that day they would come into your kingdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Cynthia and I went on vacation a few weeks ago, and one of the things that was going on with us is that Cynthia was having migraines every day, every single day, and so that was one of the things we wanted to get alone and get to, with the Lord about, talk to him about those migraines. And so we came together in the evenings, we would pray. So Sunday afternoon, we left, and she was sick. Monday, she was sick. We pray Sunday night, we pray Monday night. One of the things that I had been praying, but continuing to bring before the Lord were some promises that he made concerning healing. And so I would bring those requests and those promises to him. Scripture says that by his stripes we are healed. And I'm going to read those to you. Basically what I'm doing, I don't know if you remember or not, but about 4 weeks ago when I left, I shared with you how to pray through the tabernacle. And I gave you some instructions on how to pray through, you know, the lampstand and all of those things. Cleanse your heart. Those things. And then at the end, you come into the presence of God, which is the Holy of Holies. And then you begin to share with him those things that are on your heart, those things, your requests. And so it's kind of where I'm going to be picking up today. Where you begin reasoning with the Lord. And matter of fact, before I go any further, why don't you just pull up that outline of last time. We have come in reverence, come in sincerity, come boldly before the Lord. Then you speak out loud, tell him who he is, reason with him. And Isaiah 1:18 says, come let us reason together, says the Lord of hosts, and remind him of his promises. So I began reminding God of his promises. When I preach, a lot of times it's what God is teaching me. Sometimes it's what I've already learned, but I need to start practicing it more. And so I began reminding God of his promises regarding healing. One of those promises, like I shared with you, is Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. In 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that having died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And so I began talking to the Lord about these things. You know, if the Lord says something and it's not happening, I want to know why. Because God doesn't lie. His word is always truth. And if his word is not working, I want to know why. What's up with this? Because I know God is faithful. Okay? I know he's faithful. So, Psalm 103:3, he forgives all your sin. He heals all your diseases. Now, we could go on and on, but those were the two scriptures that I kept talking to the Lord about. What's up with this? What's going to... And then I began, and if you don't do this, I encourage you to do this. I know all of you have prayer concerns. All of you have some things on your heart that you're talking to the Lord about. But I found that when Moses was talking to the Lord, not only did Moses tell him, remind him of his promises, he began to share with God why he should answer this request. And so I began sharing with God why he should answer this request. Not because Cynthia was deserving, though I think she is, but it has nothing to do with deserving. It has to do with God's faithfulness. It has to do with his word. It has to do with his namesake. So anyway, Tuesday morning, she woke up. She was pain-free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. First time for as long as I can. I mean, it's been a long time. So we were gone for 2.5 weeks. Pain-free. Last Sunday night, she got the headache again. And she had to go to bed because of the pain that she was experiencing. And so I went before the Lord again. There's a passage of Scripture, and you need to know this passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture is found in Romans 11:29. It says, "For the calling and gifts of God are irrevocable." In the New Living Translation, it says, "For the gifts and his call can never be withdrawn." So that means if God gives you a gift, he's not going to take it back. Okay? If he gives you salvation, he's not going to take it back. If he gives you healing, he's not going to take it back. Whatever God gives you, he's not going to take it back. You know what an Indian giver is? Give him something, take it right back. And that's actually a slam on us because of the way we've treated the Native Americans by promising something, give it to them for a little while, and then take it back. God's not an Indian giver. He's not going to give you something, take it back. Before I go any further, I want to go back and I want to look at Moses. Turn in your Bibles, if you would. I don't think I had this on the overhead. But this is in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. verses 10 through 14. Did you know God get ticked off sometimes? God was ticked off. And he was ticked off at the Israelites. And he was ready to just annihilate them. And so he's talking to Moses about it. He says, "Moses, I'm fixing to take care of these Israelites. From the moment they came out of Egypt to this present time, they've just been trouble. And I'm going to take care of the problem." Verse 10, God says to Moses, "Leave me alone so my fierce anger can blaze against them." How would you like for God to say that about you? Kind of scary, isn't it? "Leave me alone so that I..." Moses, shut up. Praying for those Israelites. "Because I'm fed up. I'm done with them. Leave me alone so my fierce anger can blaze against them and I will destroy them. Then I will make you, Moses, into a great nation." If God told you, "I want to make you a great nation, but I'm going to destroy these other guys," what would you say? Moses said, "Lord, I want to talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about the decision you're about to make." Moses tried to pacify the Lord his God. "Well, Lord," he said, "why are you so angry with your own people whom you brought from the land of Egypt? with such great power and such a strong hand? Why let the Egyptians say their God rescued them with the evil intention of slaughtering them in the mountains and wiping them from the face of the earth? Turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind about this terrible disaster. That you have threatened against your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's reminding him of his promises. Right? Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You bound yourself with an oath to them, saying, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven. I will give them all this land that I have promised to your descendants, and they will possess it forever. So the Lord changed his mind. Did you know the Lord could change his mind? Isn't that strange? That a human being praying to God causes God to change his mind about what he was going to do to the children of Israel. Do you suppose that your prayers could change God's mind about something? The Lord changed his mind about the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people. So Moses reminded God of his promises, and then Moses explained to God why he shouldn't destroy the children of Israel. God said, come and let us reason together, says the Lord of hosts, Isaiah chapter 18. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord of hosts. So God wants you to come into his presence, and he wants you. Every one of you have prayer concerns. Every single one of you have prayer concerns. So why should God answer your prayer? Because you want it? You better have a better reason than that. You better have a better reason than because I want it. And when you find that reason, talk to God about that. Tell him why he should answer your request. Why is it so important that he listen to you? So when you pray, I want to encourage you to not only ask him what you need, but you tell him why he should answer your request. So me and God were talking. I'm telling God why he should answer my request concerning my wife. And last Sunday night, when Cynthia went to bed, me and God started talking again. And I reminded him of the promise that every gift that he gives, he will not take away. It's irrevocable. We talked about that. Cynthia woke up Monday morning and she's been pain-free or migraine-free since then. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you talk to the Lord, you need to tell him what's on your heart. I know some of you have some very painful things you're going through. I'm going to ask you to get before the Lord and tell him why it's important that he answers this request. I'm not being political here, but God answered my request regarding Brett Kavanaugh. And I'm sure it wasn't just my request, but I prayed as if it was just mine. Okay? Because we need someone who's going to stand on the principles of God's Word. I don't know what... I don't know what he did in the past, but what I do know this. No matter if there is a godly man that's put on the platform, there's going to be a smear campaign. I know that. I also know that you can't believe everything that some people say. Because in their mind, the end justifies the means. This is the end game. We have to get certain people in there that are anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Scripture, anti-Bible, anti-American, and we have to put somebody in there. And so no matter what it takes to get them in there, that's what we're going to do. It happens all the time. All the time. And if you're not aware of that, you just begin watching. Just begin watching. And so I'm talking to God about Brett Kavanaugh, and I'm telling God, God, we need somebody that's honorable in that position. Somebody that's going to be, that's going to make decisions that are based upon our Constitution, decisions that are based upon your word, so that hopefully no more babies are going to be slaughtered in our country. So me and God are talking about those. And so I'm telling him, God, you said that you put the leaders in place. That's what you said. And God, I know you want godly leaders in office. I know that. You said pray according to your will. And so, Lord, this is why he should go and become the justice of the Supreme Court. And so me and God are talking about that. And God heard my prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm sure he heard your prayer too. So when you're praying to the Lord, you need to tell him what you want. And you also need to explain to him why it's important for you to get what you want. I'm already praying for, hopefully you are too, there's a Senate race coming up pretty quick in November. And I'm praying the same thing for the Senate race, that God will put godly men and women in these offices that's going to uphold his word and is going to uphold the Constitution. That's my prayer, in the kind of the same prayer in the same vein that I prayed for Brett Kavanaugh. I'm praying for the senators that's going to be coming to office. You may say, Pastor, you're a Republican. You know what? I am not a registered Republican. There's some garbage in that mess too. I'm a registered voter. And I'm going to vote for the person who I feel like is the most God-honoring. I don't care what label or what brand they wear. I'll vote for the person I feel is the most God-honoring. Sometimes it's hard to find, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to find. Did you know that you could pray for your leaders? Did you know that you could pray for healing? Did you know that you could pray for protection? One of the things that I prayed for Brett Kavanaugh, and actually it's a passage of Scripture found in, let me hope I find it. What's your next Scripture verse there? Somehow it got deleted out of mine. That's it. Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. I prayed this for Brett Kavanaugh. No weapon formed against him will prosper. No weapon formed. Were there weapons formed against him? No weapon formed against him. And I'm praying that for our Senate. No weapon, because I guarantee you that if a godly person comes to the front, you're going to be shot down with words. Every weapon that you can imagine, you're going to be shot down. You watch it. You watch it. So God wants to protect you too. And He's got, and so if you need protection, I would go to this passage of Scripture right here. And I would memorize it. I would begin praying it. And I would explain to the Lord why my family needs protection, why my children needs protection, why my wife needs protection, why those around me needs protection, why this church needs protection. I would begin praying to the Lord, Lord, this is what Your Word says, and I'm going to stand on Your Word, and this is why I need protection. Share it with him. Share it with him. Psalm 91 is another good passage for protection. We're not going to go there, but it's known as the soldier's psalm. And so, when Dustin Burdick went into the armed forces, I said, I want you to start praying this every day for protection. Psalm 91. Ask you a question. Is it okay to pray for financial blessing? Do you think God will hear your prayer? Okay. Your motive? So, this is one of those things that has a condition with it. Okay? There are a lot of things you can pray for regarding God, and God says, okay, it's yours. Scripture says, if any of you lack wisdom, you can ask of God who gives to all men liberally, and it'll be done. What do you have to do to get wisdom? Ask. You know, every time I'm in a counseling situation, that's one of the first things I'm praying, God, give me wisdom. I don't have wisdom on my own. If any wisdom comes, it comes from you. This is why I need wisdom. And every one of you probably, and myself as well, could use a little more financial blessing, even if it's just to bless others. Okay? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's talking about blessings. So if you want blessings from the Lord, what does that scripture say you need to do? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Here's my thought. You can pray all you want to, but unless you are seeking God first, your prayers may be in vain. Okay? You can pray for His blessings, but unless you're putting Him first in your life, then your prayers may be in vain. You know, a lot of times people and you know, preachers on television and other, they say, well, Scripture says, God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Is that true? Let's look at who He's telling that to. Okay? Let's look at who He's telling that to. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 through 19, he says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel," basically what he's saying, Paul is saying, when I began preaching, when I began doing my missionary work, and I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, when I was preaching there, doing missionary work, leading people to Christ, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I was seeking a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." Who is he talking to? Talking to the giver. He's talking to this church at Thessalonica who was such wonderful givers. He could have said that about Life Change. You guys are a giving group of people. Because of that, God's blessing you. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory because of how you give. I believe that. You can pray that. If you've been giving, you can pray that with confidence. You can pray that with confidence. There are those who teach you just blab it and grab it. Name it and claim it. That's not what Scripture says. There are blessings to those who bless others. I know that God wants to bless you. I know that. But sometimes we are our own worst enemy. And as much as God wants to bless us, he can't because of where our heart is. So now to our text, Hebrews chapter 10. Turn in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. There's an acrostic called PUSH. Pray until something happens. Okay? Pray until something happens. And either what's going to happen is something in your, the things that you're praying for are either going to come to pass and you're going to see it, or in your time with the Lord when you've entered into his presence, you're going to experience a peace like God's, like it's done. And you don't have to pray for it anymore. You can begin thanking him for it, even though in the natural you may not see it. But in your spirit, you know that you know that you know that you know it has come to pass. So you pray until you see the evidence of it physically or you feel it in your spirit that God is, it's a done deal. So you pray until something happens. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." Jesus made a new life-giving way through the veil, or through the curtain, into the Holy of Holies. Oftentimes when we read Scripture, there's a dual meaning, sometimes even a triple meaning. But the dual meaning here is that in your private prayer time, you can go right into the presence of God. As a matter of fact, God invites you in. He wants you. He says, enter in. Enter in. The other one is that when my mom dies, she's going to go through the veil. She's going to enter in heaven's gate. She's going to enter into the presence of God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Jesus made that possible through His shed blood. There's no other way you can enter in through prayer. There's no other way you can enter into heaven when you die except through Jesus' shed blood. There's a promise God gave each of you regarding heaven. And He said that whoever believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Now, belief means turning away from sin and turning to God, putting your trust in Him. That's what belief means. You're not trusting yourself, you're trusting God. And Jesus made a way for you. If you're carrying guilt, if you're carrying shame for the things that you've done in the past, Scripture says, we just read it, He will cleanse you and give you a clean conscience. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you're here today, you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, now is the time. I'm going to ask Tom and Renee to come up. They're going to start playing. As they play, I'm going to just invite you to just stand and get up from where you are. Come to the front. If you need to pray with me, I will be more than happy to pray with you. If you need to kneel here at the altar, then I'm encouraging you to do that. Gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. If you have a special prayer concern, I'll pray with you. We've got others who will pray with you. If you are here and need you, you need somebody to pray with you for regarding healing, we've got people to do that with you. What is your need this morning? God wants to meet you right where you are. Let's sing together.